You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. We're broadcasting live tonight from somewhere in the cosmos. I'm not going to tell you where. And my name is Lance White, and I'm your host. Tonight, my guest is Timothy Glenn, who I welcome back with glee. Timothy is an author, astrologer, numerologist, and spiritual reader. He came into this life without the veils pulled all the way down, like many of us. He never fit into the real world. Early years include music, voice, and exposure to astrology. Theatrical training prepared him for a brief stint as a minister. And I think are we live? Yes, we're on. Okay. All right. We're just getting a duplicate signal from the radio station. Okay. So he has done past life regression, sound healing, astrology, and now does multidimensional soul purpose readings that are absolutely excellent. I've had several, and I highly recommend him. You can find out more on his website at www.soulpurposereadings.com. So let's welcome Timothy back to the show now. Hi, Timothy. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing all right, I guess, in the midst of all the crazy planetary transmutation.
Yes, it does seem like there's a lot of planetary transmutation going on. From your observation post in your part of the galaxy, what do you see?
It's different every moment.
And in this moment?
The moment when you started asking the question or the moment when the question finished?
Oh, well, geez. Let me see. How about the 5 seconds from now so we can nail it?
Okay. Yeah, it's all morphing wildly, and it's a strange ride on the planet right now. And as you may have noticed yourself, there are tremendous demands on our physical bodies right now. Energetically and cellularly, we're really being pushed a bit because we are mutating. Mm. And so, you know, you're okay. You're just mutating.
Okay.
But the bodies are tending to demand a little extra rest, and one of the best things we can do at this point is give the body rest when it wants it. Mm. And it will give us some signals, and if we push too far, then it's going to kick up a fuss like yours did recently.
Oh, yeah. It literally broke down and almost took me out with it. Yeah, that was a fun ride.
Yes. And for those who don't know, you just had a little fun round of playing with pneumonia.
Yes, that was that is exactly true. And I hadn't been able to mention that on the air because I haven't been on the air for a few weeks. This is the first live show I'm doing since I recovered, more or less. I'm not completely recovered, but then. If I did completely recover, I wouldn't be Zany Mystic.
Well, there you go. We'll be gentle tonight, okay? We'll go easy.
Oh, good.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, make it easy on me. Oh, please, God, make it easy. Speaking of God, lots of people are waiting for a Savior to save.
Oh, they sure are.
And I go through this myself. And I don't think you do because you're a little ahead of me on the, you know, on the wheel of fortune. But occasionally I do hop onto a bandwagon, and there are lots of bandwagons we can hop onto. I mean, there's all the religious bandwagons that you know, have people terrified and you know, knocking their knees or, you know, railing out with anger and frustration and praying for some kind of horrific, traumatic end to things, which is a lot of programming that's going on. But there's also, in the New Age movement, there's all kinds of things going on. There's a whole wave of people that are getting distracted by the Flat Earth movement. And in a movie that I'm watching called Earth Final Conflict by Gene Roddenberry, they actually have a Flat Earth Cafe. And so that's kind of an interesting phenomenon that's coming up, and people are getting pretty hot under the collar about that one. And another subject that has come up is kind of a big one for a lot of people, and that's the revelations coming forth through a person named Corey Good and, of course, David Wilcock and others. And it seems to be pretty much accepted on his word that everything he says is accurate and true. So people are it's being piped in from somewhere. I don't know where it's being piped in from, but probably the usual places that are manipulating us. And they claim that there's a Blue Avian Alliance that is here to save us or to help us. So those are a couple of things that are kind of wacky and on this planet today.
Well, yeah, this is just the bandwagon parade. And which one of those bandwagons do you want to jump on, or do you want to try to jump on four or five at the same time? But the Blue Avian thing, that is like a real hot topic out there right now. But as Protarian has pointed out for decades, there are thousands and thousands of different kinds of other beings here and who've been here. Some are coming in. And how many have been here or are coming in that have not been spotted, as it were?
Mm.
And why get excited about this one group?
Mm.
As though they're the cavalry coming to save the day. And they're blue, and the cavalry always wore those blue coats, so there's a parallel there.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear the bugle call? It's like,
yeah. Oh, yes, I hear it in my ear right now.
But it's
and then there's,
thing...
of course, the movie with the blue, the Avatar was a precursor or foreshadower of these blue beings.
Oh, let's get excited about it now. But, you know, it's the same old story. It's like everybody's looking for somebody to save them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And maybe there's only one being in all the universe who could save you. What do you think? Or do you need saving? That's another one of the illusions. The only thing you need to be saved from is the illusion that you need to be saved from something.
Right.
You know,
so then
all this...
the people who dispel the illusion would be considered illusion dispellers.
Okay. But, you know, Aldous Huxley had said there is only one corner of the universe you can be certain of improving, and that's your own self.
Mm. Well, that makes sense.
And everybody wants to go out and try to fix everything that's quote-unquote wrong in the Matrix out there. And, of course, then looking for other beings to come in to help fix what is quote-unquote wrong, etc. So this is just one more of these distractions, and it places our attention outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When Huxley said, you know, that your own self is the only thing in the universe that you've been certain of improving, why not focus a little more on that?
Mm.
You are God. You are the creator. So, what are you choosing to create? And while we are co-creating, yeah, I still look for these themes as all of these different bandwagons come by. And when I see the same old themes, I just decide, okay, well, there's a bandwagon I'm not going to jump on. And if these blue avian beings are part of a team coming in here to playfully co-create with us, that's wonderful. There are thousands of other kinds of beings here too, and I'm all for it. Let's co-create and let's wake up and get real.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it was Terrence McKenna that said before he passed into the other realms that towards the end of the illusion that there would be all kinds of things showing up. You know, just the skies would be filled with ships and shapes and various other things that would appear out of nowhere, as if the illusion had snapped or something.
Well, the thing is, all of it's here right now, and we have lacked the ability to perceive the vast majority of all of this. But how much do we really perceive anyway?
Well, it's pretty hard to see through all the chemtrails.
Well, beyond chemtrails, just our ability to perceive, to see, to hear, to otherwise just sense what is vibrating right here, right now, even in the context of being earthlings.
Oh, geez. Well, I'm the first to admit that my awareness is not as high as it could be. And, you know, it's taken a long time to be able to perceive even the basic invisible nature of nature itself, the very nature that surrounds us. And we're cut off from nature with largely with wearing shoes and being absorbed in cell phones and electronic distractions and being fluoridated to death and so on and so forth. So it's really difficult to even connect with nature, and that's where we come from.
Well, then we get into what really is nature, and is nature that we're interpreting out here really nature, or is this the matrix, which is simply like this energetic overlay? It's over the natural universe. Like, once upon a time, we'll tell a little story here. Once upon a time, we were helped to misperceive the natural universe. And by misperceiving it, we misunderstood it, and hence we mistreated it, which led us to misperceiving it even more, which led to greater misunderstanding and greater mistreatment, which led to more misperceiving, blah, 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 blah. And that continued on for, a few zillion years, and next thing you know, we've got this so-called consensus reality, or this collective illusion, which is an energetic overlay over the natural universe and what nature would be if we hadn't spent billions of years screwing it up.
Mm.
And we've talked about
that makes sense.
Okay, so we've got these beings that we've talked about before, whatever you want to call them, the archons or whoever, or whatever.
Right.
It's really artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And it isn't life. It cannot create life or live life as we know it. All it can do is influence life. And it influences us to be self-destructive and destroy things around us. And so, you know, after enough, shall we say, several more eons of this nonsense, we've really messed it up pretty badly, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what we're perceiving out there and thinking of as nature may not be as natural as we would like to think. If it contains the predator-prey relationship, the big red flag goes up.
Oh, right, of course.
Okay, if it contains the parasite-host relationship, the big red flag comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Because as the Proterians have pointed out, it's ludicrous to create a world in which one part of God has to kill and eat another part of God in order to survive.
Absolutely.
And you're not dealing with what the Proterians would call nature.
Right. I totally agree with that.
Yes, and so we're watching this wild game out here, and yes, we've got the chemtrails and the GMOs, and go on down the list. We could just get a list, and we could spend the rest of the show just reading the items on the list.
Well, there are plenty of people doing that for us.
Well, sure, yeah. And maybe that's okay. You never know. Maybe, just maybe, in the midst of this game we're playing, it takes a certain amount of people and a certain amount of energy to, quote-unquote, fight the system and whatever and oppose this and oppose that in order to slow down that destruction just enough so that we can wake up and get real, so that we don't go into total self-destruction. So maybe that's all fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't, if you're not moved, if your spirit does not move you to do any of that, then you're fine. You don't have to do that. maybe you're doing something that these other people are not moved to do that's every bit as important in the game as what they're doing.
Mm, absolutely.
And ultimately, it's all a game anyway, right?
Right.
It's the big game.
Right, and sometimes we take it seriously, and that creates liver problems.
You know, I forget when it was, maybe a year or two ago, I wrote a pair of articles back-to-back. You can find them on Laura Bruno's blog. So if you go to Laura Bruno's blog, you can there's a little section for search this blog. You can type in your game review. And then I think the second was entitled Reviewing Your Game Review. Hmm. And the way it was presented is we're playing this 3D virtual reality computer game. Okay?
Hmm.
Planet Earth, 3D Planet Earth is this a virtual reality computer game. And what we're doing on another level is we're finishing this round of play, and then we're going to sit down and we're going to write a review for a Cosmic Gaming magazine. And how many stars out of 5 are you going to give this game?
Is there a can you do minus stars?
Yeah, where are you, about -3 or something?
Yeah. It's a kind of a sucky game.
Yeah.
And it's so repetitive. I mean, it just goes on and on and keeps repeating itself, and it seems like all of us are just cases of total amnesia, and we forget everything that's gone on before, and it just goes on in a new form with a new set of clothes and a new, apparently new players. It's the same old, you know, garbage, re-garbageated.
But you
reincarnated.
You're talking about patterns, repeating patterns.
Yeah,
So that's what we like to catch here is just look at the patterns. Now, how many different scripts are out there? I mean, look at what Hollywood produces, or look at the popular literature. How many different scripts are there really?
Mm.
We're just looking at all these millions of variations on the same old tired themes.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we may really like them, we may think Lord of the Rings is great or Harry Potter is great, but there's your theme of, oh, there's this terrible, evil, bad guy, and if we don't stop him, he'll do massive destruction. Oh, my God, we have to go out there and fight and stop him. Now, there's a new theme for you. Wow, how creative. It's the same old story. And so, like what you're talking about with the bandwagons here, people looking for somebody to come from outer space. You know, the aliens are going to come and save us. The Ascended Masters are going to wave magic wands and blah, 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 whatever it's going to be. It's always looking to something external to come and save you. And
mm-hmm.
that's a pattern. Same old story. And so when these things come up, when I see the same old patterns, and I don't really see it as necessary for anybody to be saved, I tend to, let's say I fail to get excited about it.
Well, there is a lot of drama going on, and it does seem that there's some accuracy to the idea that that humans are food, that our various bodies are being consumed on levels that we're unconscious of, and that what needs to happen is we need to become more conscious so that we can understand and raise our awareness and not be food for something that is a little more, let's say, advanced. Just like we're herding cattle and chickens and sheep to the slaughterhouse. I mean, we're not exempt from that. I just watched the movie Jupiter Rising, and it was pretty interesting to see that humans are being farmed, and it's just a minor operation in a galactic game. So I hope I didn't give away the whole movie, but it's a fun movie to watch. It really is a fun movie to watch, but it does put things into a different perspective.
Yeah. In fact, that expression has been used a long, long time, that we are being farmed here. But that's on a level, and we seem to have been stuck on that level for a long time and fixated on it. And the more we fixate on things like that, the more we're pouring our creative energy into that. I would rather not get too bunged up about it, especially if we put emotional energy into it. Then, as we've pointed out before, if you pour all that energy into it, you're going to get more of it.
We get more of the same.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. And so, the clever design.
Let's move on into the joy, light, love arena then.
And it's funny how so many people have difficulty doing that. At one point, a couple years ago, the Proterians had said that if you ask the typical Earthling what their ideal world would be like, they start giving you a list of what people are not going to be allowed to do. There won't be any more of this, and there won't be any more of that, and there won't be this, and there won't be that, and nobody's allowed to do this. And all they can talk about is what they don't like about the way it is in the current illusion of the Matrix. Mm-hmm. And they don't talk about, they don't dream about what they really would love to experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the most basic thing is, as we step forth now as conscious co-creators, how about having a love-based reality instead of a fear-based reality?
Wonderful.
And everything
that,
else
that
takes care of
it all into another dimension, literally.
Yes. And as
what else?
Good old Albus, and speaking of Harry Potter, Albus Dumbledore, our good friend there, insists that love is the greatest power. And so if we become greater embodiments of the pure, infinite, divine love, that is the greatest power, because really that is the essence of the infinitude itself, and all the fear-based patterning within us and around us will have to entrain with that, or those patterns will fall apart,
mm-hmm,
etc.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, it's all really, really simple. If we can just quit getting suckered into the big game out there, which is called distraction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you were just saying recently, and I'll let you finish it, but that if you're angry at any part, it gets you. Go, and you can take the rest of it.
Okay. Yes, the Proterians point out that from where we are, the Matrix is really a very clever design, because it was designed to trap us and keep us trapped. And so it's so cleverly designed that if you judge any part of it, it's got you. And it gives you 8 zillion things to judge. And going by the principle of, as C.G. Jung had said, what you resist persists. As we know, pour more energy into it and you'll get more of it. And so if you fight it, you feed it. And so as you're out there fixated on it and struggling with it, you're just amplifying the energy that's maintaining it. And also then, if you're angry at any part of the Matrix, it's got you. And, of course, it's designed perfectly to totally piss you off.
Yes. I'm laughing because I had some of those moments today where I gave my energy away. I should say it was siphoned off by my anger, which was my responsibility.
But if we dream of a love-based reality, now imagine just something that is very Earth-like, what we're perceiving as nature, without the predator-prey game, without the parasite-host game. We have the beauty of the mountains and the trees and the lakes and the streams and the oceans and everything else. It's all beautiful and living in harmony. There's no discord in it. How are you going to have peace on Earth when there's all this killing and eating out there?
Right, so, right. That seems like part of the false creation that's been that has created the illusion that we need to kill things, and then of course that's gone on into the projection of if you don't like such certain thing, you kill it.
So it's all part of the false light universe.
The false light universe, and if you. Allopathic medicine. If you have a disease, you kill it. You don't you don't work with your body. You work by killing the things that are in it. Well, unfortunately, chemotherapy and vaccinations and the rest of it tend to kill the whole body. So that seems to be a problem that, that comes up with that kind of treatment.
Yeah, so if we would imagine an Earth-like world, this world transformed, healed, whatever you want to call it, and it's love-based, and everything is completely harmonious, and it's all fun and creative. Dream of what we could do. What would you love to do? What kind of creative projects would you get into? What kind of music could we have? What kind of art could we have? Mm-hmm. And on and on and on. Dream it.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are incredibly intuitive and creative, and they can dream up lots of fantastic things, but along comes something to distract them. You know, there's that parade of the bandwagons.
Right. Right.
It's like, why take the bait? Because really, it's bait.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, the bait is everywhere. I mean, you can't leave your house without getting baited. And
comes into your house.
Well, yes. I mean, if you're going to watch television, you might as well just, turn the off switch on or the on switch off because there you are, but it's programmed and you're trapped. That is a matrix.
Well, that's part of why I have never owned a television. When I was 17 years old, I came to the conclusion that television was a weapon being used for the purposes of social engineering by beings who did not have our best interests at heart.
Well, you got that one right.
And I was 17 years old.
Wow.
And although there were times I would make sure I could watch some television because I enjoyed Star Trek, and every now and then a rare show would come along, and I'd go over to somebody else's house to watch that one show, like Kung Fu. I used to enjoy that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every now and then, it's like every several years, there might be a show that would be interesting enough where I would hang out with a friend and watch it. But that's about as far as it went with television. And it's a drug.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Heavily addictive drug. Yeah, but if we just imagine living without addictions, without all these drives and needs and so forth, where everything is wide open, totally creative, and fun. First of all, imagine living in a state of perfect health. We're living in bodies that are designed to renew themselves endlessly on all levels. All the energetic levels, molecular level, cellular level, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We have a whole new body every so often. So imagine that instead of replicating the toxic patterning that we have here in this reality, that constant replenishing is just keeping the body alive and in perfect health as long as you want. And you can take that physical form in and out of dimensions. You can shapeshift. You can do whatever you want because the body is not a frozen sculpture like they've told you here. It's a free-flowing energy field, and you can be this completely pleomorphic being. You can morph into any life form that you want. And you can be walking along this beautiful path alongside the stream, and you're on your way to see a friend, and you look over, and there's a portal over there. How cool. And so you go through that portal, and you end up in some magnificent realm, and you stay there for 14,000 years, and you come back, and it's only 2 seconds later here, and you continue your walk to your friend's house and say, hey, the coolest thing happened on the way here.
I love it.
And you can share all of that. And what kind of music do they have in those realms? And on and on and on. What can we create? We can create worlds. We can create our own galaxies and realms of all kinds. And actually, on another level, we're not creating it because it already exists. It is part of the infinitude. So the infinite possibilities exist right here, right now. And all we're doing is choosing which of those we now want to experience.
Mm.
Now, we've had the experience of reflecting on these fear-based realities. And yes, as you noted earlier, we've decided this sucks.
Right.
So some people are going to be writing some pretty scathing gaming reviews on this one. But as we now step forth as conscious co-creators, can you imagine us deliberately co-creating a new Earth that had flaws and mistakes and on, go on down the list?
Mm-hmm.
Or would we want to be perfect beings in a perfect world where we don't have the interference? And just imagine living on this planet very much the same as we are now, except everything is quote-unquote healed or transformed, and there's not a single being on the entire planet who would even think for a moment of interfering with you fulfilling your dreams. In fact, there are millions and billions of beings all around you who would love to jump right in there and help you co-create your dreams.
Boy, that sounds great. Well, that's kind of what the Praetorians do, isn't it?
That's what they do, yes.
And probably a multitude of other, life forms that have different names that are, benevolent and playful, and don't have the hang-ups that we humans seem to make them laugh to. I think didn't you say one time that that this is a comedy show for the Praetorians?
Oh, this is the intergalactic, with the Intergalactic Broadcasting System, this is the number one smash hit comedy. We are Intergalactic Comedy Central for these beings. Because they look at us and they see these magnificent creator gods that we are, and this is what we're creating? It has to be a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this isn't serious. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it isn't very funny if you're here.
Right, and that's one thing that a lot of these beings who have never been in here don't seem to understand. And I know it ticks off a lot of people down here who are in the trenches, so to speak, because these other beings will come through with all this nice, fluffy-sounding stuff and la-da-da-da-da, but they don't understand what it is to be in here. They don't understand what it's like to be in the pain, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
absolutely.
We're in here. We found out, and we've realized
we've
now.
Explored just about every avenue of pain and suffering that is conceivable.
Well, yeah, we painted the town brown, and now we're ready for a whole new gig.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of being ready for a whole new gig, what is your personal feeling about the energetic shifts that are occurring and the timing of them? We've had a lot of solar flares, and I know that kind of puts me on my back. I have to rest when there's multiple solar flares. If the weather, I don't know what the sun is anymore, or what anything is here, or whether it's a device that's hanging there and around a chain, or if it's a peephole with a microscope with a scientist looking at us, or if it's a galactic portal with all those those strange ships that seem to be
are coming in and out of the sun. Yeah, right.
Yes, my goodness gracious. Well, it's got to be some kind of a matrix.
Yeah, and the thing,
we're in a matrix. I mean, and as you said, it's an intergalactic dimensional, nine-dimensional matrix.
Yeah, so many people have this weird idea that all they have to do is manage to die physically here, and that means they've escaped the matrix.
Oh no,
no way! They they're in the recycle bin.
Exactly. Well, let's go into that for a minute about the light and the false light and the whole process of how we get recycled.
Yeah, well, people come out and, there's that story of going to the end of the tunnel and it leads toward this bright light and there's all your friends and relatives and so forth. Well, they think that's their friends and relatives. But these beings have a complete readout on you, and they can put up holograms or have other shape-shifting beings be that person in a little play they're putting on for you. They know all your memories and feelings concerning that person, et cetera, et cetera. And they can welcome you into this, and then eventually you go into this situation of a life review.
Uh-oh, that's the big one.
Right, and I mean, you know you've been had when you're there.
When you've got a life review in front of you, you better watch out.
Yeah, and of course, it's always going to end up with you needing to work on problems and resolve issues and work off karma and yada, yada, yada. In other words, you're going to get shot right back into one of these bodies with your memory wiped out.
Exactly.
Okay, according to your old buddy Gurdjieff, that was a tunnel that led to the moon. That's where prep you and shoot you back down here.
Exactly.
But so many people who have transcended this will tell you that when you're out there, out of the body now, and there are a zillion different variations on all these different themes, but many people will find themselves looking at that bright light at the end of that tunnel, and there's that alluring energy there. And what's the parallel there is like the people here get distracted by the bright, shiny objects.
Yeah, right.
Because there's also a softer light, and you could go toward that softer light. And it ends up being the real light of the natural universe, not the phony spotlight that they're using as a weapon. You know, the thing is, these beings, these creatures, these whatever these are, they've been doing the manipulations here. They have learned to weaponize light.
That's interesting. Let's go on about that.
The Illuminati.
Oh, yes.
They use light as a weapon. Well, you know the old saying, blinded by the light?
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. See, they can blind you with a big blast of false light. And, of course, then they're there to very kindly and gently help you get your bearings right and remember all the things that you did here and blah, 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 and there you're with your life review, and then you're back down here with no memory. Starting
again,
from square one again.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of lifetimes.
Yes, and they have all these beings who work so hard to come to see the light, and it's just all the light show that they're putting on for you with the false light that will lead you round and round and round on the hamster wheel of karma and reincarnation, which keeps generating energy, and these beings dip their straws in it and suck on it and say thank you very much.
And then we can become food for the demigods.
Yeah, and it's all just part of the computer game, and it's no big deal. It's important to recognize it for what it is and to see it. You know, going into denial is certainly not going to help us. But what we can do is see it for what it is and be okay with it all. It's important to remember that it's all God. It's all the infinitude. There isn't anything out here that's not part of the infinite. Everything is an expression of the infinite, and that doesn't mean within the context of your current reality things have to resonate no matter what, because obviously they don't. And so what we do is simply tune out what doesn't resonate, and we gravitate toward which does resonate with us. That's what we want to do at this point.
Well, if a person were really serious about, you know, inner work and developing their awareness and moving outside the matrix, I don't see a lot. There's some written material on it, and of course there are esoteric schools that delve into that, but then you've got to pay and pay and pay and worship somebody in the school. But I don't see an awful lot written about how to cope with the false light and what to look for, you know, and how to prepare, how to adequately prepare to leave creation.
Okay,
you know, can you comment about that?
Oh, let's take a couple, because you got a whole bunch of little fun things in there.
First
of all, you're asking how questions. Okay, now Proterian loves the how questions. And they have a very simple four-step formula for that. Because when we ask the how questions, who's asking it? Not your spirit, because your spirit already knows how to do this.
Oh, right, right.
Your spirit already exists beyond all of this. So it's always the ego asking how it can manipulate the universe to get this desired result.
Of course.
Okay, so for the how questions, the four-step formula is 1, access thinking dictionary. 2, go to H. 3, scroll down to how. 4, delete from dictionary. Okay. Now, you had some other fun stuff. Go through that again, because that was fun. What else did you
have? Yeah. Do it again.
What else did you have in there about how to... Oh, the material. You're looking for material. First of all, are you really going to learn this out of a book?
No.
No, because your spirit already knows how to do it, so how are you going to learn it out of a book anyway?
Right.
If we're looking for material out there to teach us how to be ourselves and return, just be our natural selves, it's like, maybe that book doesn't exist. So, again, we're looking to the outside to resolve something that can only be resolved inside.
And there you get back to the distraction and external focus, taking us away from what we could create internally.
Well, maybe the Blue Avians have that magic book you're looking for.
Oh, gee, I'll have to ask Corey if I can buy one from him. Hurry while supplies last.
Yes.
Blue Avians, hot off the press.
Here we go. And the thing is, all of this stuff is happening, yeah, and so what? Remember, that's the new sacred mantra, well, new as of last fall. The new sacred mantra is, so what?
Mm.
Yeah, all that's going on, and so
what?
Just
what so? I stole your line.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Or as one friend came up with another wonderful little mantra, anytime she's presented with anything that even has a whiff of Matrix energy in it, she says, oh, please.
Oh, I like that one.
That is a beautiful mantra. That is a sacred
please.
Mantra now, folks.
Oh, please.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Oh, please. And you can add so many intonations to, oh, please.
Yes.
Please. Oh, please.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's just an amazing time we're in, because there is the amazing energetic shift. It's really phenomenal. And, the bodies are having a little bit of difficulty, but a lot of that is simply us realizing where our attachments still lie. Yeah. And it's not going to help us to pretend they're not there. It's not going to help to keep the unconscious unconscious.
Right.
Bring it up into consciousness, because we've been manipulated through our subconscious and unconscious. In fact, years ago, Proterian had asked the question, where do you think you got such a thing as the unconscious mind? It was created gradually over eons of time through being constantly traumatized.
Aha, yes. And then having to separate and compartmentalize a part of ourselves and fragment. In other words, like the mirrored ball in the discotheque, is we get fragmented, and then there's no way that we can be together within, because the other parts aren't aware of what's going on, and at the unconscious levels we can be influenced and manipulated.
Yeah, and so maybe it's a good idea for us to be able to face what has been held down in the dark.
That sounds like an excellent idea.
Yeah. And ultimately,
well, how do people know? I mean, how does one know? I mean, a sincere person who's telling themselves the truth, who's being authentic, would be more likely to be able to see the truth about themselves. But what about people who are just waking up and starting to, or people that don't even know? I mean, how? It seems that there has to be a consensus here for things to shift dramatically. Is that accurate?
Well, does it really need to be a consensus of everyone and everything? Or
no.
Are we at
no.
a point where within the game it's like a separation of the worlds? Or really, is everybody their own world or their own universe, et cetera, et cetera? We can play those games all day and all night.
Oh, yeah, right, of course.
Yeah. Yes. But that was kind of a convoluted question there.
Well, darn, you just stole that one from me too. I'm so glad I have you on. I learn so much when you're on the show. I'm reminded of so much that I already know that I either forget or
And the thing is, you do know. But back to your question, though. How can they understand? How can they be sure? How can they know? Well, see, everybody that you're
there's
asking
a house question.
The house question, yes. However, yes. Everyone that you're talking about and asking this question about has this magical item. It's called a heart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that. Yeah. And the heart knows.
Right.
Yeah. Does it resonate? Does it not? And if you are sincere in your heart and you just breathe into that, your spirit is vibrating right there. Does this jibe? Does it not jibe? What? It's up to you to discern that way. And this is how we're developing our discernment that we evidently lost long ago in the midst of the Matrix.
Oh, yeah. Because we're surely not going to get answers from our minds or the left brain because That's part of the maze that we get lost in.
And we can spin our wheels around and round in that mud for a long time.
Oh,
but,
yeah. And there's scientists who can prove that this is right and that's right.
We'll prove it, yeah. But, you know, a lot of people are having these very cool experiences. Maybe you're having some. Maybe some people in your audience are having what I like to call matrix experiences, where...
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is like we are beyond just seeing the background grid. You know, we come to the point that we realize that in this world that we've accepted as real, the graphics aren't even that good. You know,
right?
yes,
I do see that.
Yeah, and like one of my friends recently just had this experience of sitting in one of the rooms in her house, and she couldn't see the wall.
Oh, interesting.
It wasn't solid, and so it's like these little creatures who color this in for us are kind of like falling behind now, and they can't keep up with us with the rapid shifts, and so they didn't get the wall colored in. Yeah. So
now
it's
that sounds
cool.
Interesting.
Yes, and I had one a couple weeks ago. I woke up in the morning, and I came out of just this magnificent experience in quote-unquote dream time, and... my hands and all the way down my forearms were no longer made of flesh and blood.
Huh.
And I couldn't really understand what they were made of. They were still hands. I was like flexing the fingers, and they felt much lighter, but much more supple. It was really phenomenal. There was like no bone, no blood vessels, none of that stuff.
Oh,
but
nice.
They were still my hands. It was all the way down my forearms. And I was... emailing a friend later in the day about it, and it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I even said, even at this point, they're only about 80% remanifested.
Wow.
You know, I was able to go through the day and use these hands, but they were made of something else.
Wow.
Yeah, so let those matrix experiences happen.
Yeah, absolutely, because as you said, as you pointed out, and Jörg de Vossius also points out in his writings, that that the world, the real world, can't be something in which everything is feeding off of everything else. So that would include the body,
mm-hmm.
which is constantly consuming itself and other things within it. So people talk about the light body, and, it sounds like if we were truly in a reality that was harmonic and not disharmonic, that nothing would be necessary to maintain it. Money would not be necessary. Killing would not be necessary. Fighting, of course, would be it wouldn't even cross your mind, probably.
Right, yes. It wouldn't even be a thought.
It wouldn't be a part of your reality.
Right.
And I even have one of my guests, Carla Fox, just wrote a very interesting blog on how she was working on dissolving the DNA. So many people got wrapped up over the last 10 years or longer on, DNA activations. So that was the big fad, DNA activations. Get your DNA, $150, bargain. And she's saying that she's dissolving the DNA and that the DNA isn't necessary.
Well, just like the chakras, we've been through that discussion,
yes,
too.
I'll let you tell us about the chakras.
As one of your faithful listeners said after we had discussed that on the show, I forget where they can find it in the archives. Maybe that was last October or something. Anyway, she had listened to that, and she said, you know, you're right. We've been sliced and diced.
Yeah.
Because
it used
to be one pillar of energy, vertically oriented. Now, if you remember when you're a little kid and you're in school and you have your science textbook and you see a picture of the Earth and how they draw the magnetic lines?
Yes.
Go from pole to pole and then loop back up around the Earth? Okay, yep. That's what our field would be like if we were verticalized in our orientation. But these other beings had us sliced and diced. They cut out sections of that pillar of energy and they turned them horizontally.
Mm.
And through thousands of years of this, finally getting humans to acclimate to accepting that as reality, they even turned it into a religion.
Yes, absolutely.
And boy, are people still totally fixated on the illusion of the chakra system, which they don't even realize is holding them down into the horizontal orientation of the matrix.
Yes, yes. Bingo. And even it gets even better. A lot of people in the New Age are now wrapped up on the idea that's being fed to us that we're moving into a new, we're ascending, and we'll have more chakras. We're going to have 12. That there will be a galactic chakra. There's one underneath our feet. So instead of becoming more unified and horizontal, as you were just saying, they're going to slice us and dice us, those who choose to be sliced and diced, some more, so that we can be in a bigger sandbox. And as I see it, we'd just be moving out of this control domination paradigm into a larger one that looks like we're totally free and we're intermingling with our alien friends and so on and so forth. But it's just another, at some point, like the movie, I can't remember the name of it, but the guy who's in a movie, he was born in a movie, and he finally discovers that it's a movie. He gets to the limits of the production and finds out that there are limits, and he hits the wall, and it's painted. It's not the ocean. It's really solid. So, I think that's something that we would want to be aware about.
Yeah, you would think so.
I was saying.
Yeah. But, when you were saying all of that, it reminded me of a cartoon that was passed around on the Internet a few years ago, and it was called Revolution, Before and After, and they had a picture of two bird cages, one small one and one that was much, much bigger, maybe five times bigger than the other bird cage. And these people, it was humans, marching out of the little one, carrying their signs of protest, marching into the bigger bird cage.
Yeah, that sounds pretty accurate.
That's
another comedy, half-hour comedy show on planet Earth.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it's the Earthling show.
Really?
But if we, you see, the cool thing is that we can sit here and just laugh about it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my old teachers used to say, if you can laugh about it, you can get it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only other option is start bawling, and that only lasts so long. And
well, you can get all bunged up and angry about it.
And you can waste all your energy.
Yeah, and then, of course, it's got you.
And then it's got you. If you get angry, it's got you. Exactly. And if you judge...
So with all of this, how about the old pixel analogy?
Tell us about that.
Now, you can apply this to lots of different things. The first time they presented it, it was about just like having an issue. But it can be virtually anything that has to do with the matrix here. It may seem like it's really huge. It occupies your mind. It dominates your thoughts and gets your emotional body all bunged up and so forth. And it seems like it's larger than life. It towers over you. But you are a conscious, unfolding being. You are God and unfolding into that realization. So you grow, you expand. It doesn't. The issue, whatever it is just an issue. It's just one of these silly illusions. And so next thing you know, it no longer towers over you. Next thing you know, you're taller than it is. Next thing you know, shoulder high, it only comes up to your knee, your ankle, etc. And in the ultimate play out of this, as you enter into whatever the new earth or new reality is going to be for you, in the picture of your life, that entire issue is nothing but one pixel in the background. And at that time, you're not going to turn around and point at it and say, see that pixel right there? I hate that pixel. That's the nastiest pixel in the history of the universe. I hate it.
Wow. Well, I love that. I love that one because it certainly helps to give some perspective on our situation.
Perspective. Isn't it really all just a matter of perspective?
And we can shift that and right now.
Exactly.
We just did.
Yeah.
We have about 40, 50, 60 seconds left.
Are you kidding?
We got an eternity left. If you'd like to, share any closing thoughts on your website and where people can get your soul purpose readings, because they're wonderful, I think that would be a wonderful thing to do.
Okay. It's soulpurposereadings.com. That's S-O-U-L. And it's a very simple little website, and the readings are a completely different story. It's basically panning the camera back off the planet, out of this dimension, and looking at things from the perspective of the soul itself as it comes into the incarnation. Why did you think this was a good idea?
Well, some of the questions I may ask you in future shows is something about Reba Zartars and the Tiger's Fang. So I'm setting up a future show.
Okay, well, we'll do that, because I probably read the Tiger's Frame from cover to cover more than 100 times.
Wow.
I used to just live with it, because it's an energetic roadmap into those other realms.
Okay, well, we've got to go. So thank you again, Tim, for coming back. It was a wonderful show, and I look forward to talking to you again very soon.
This was fun. Thanks a lot.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.